We have a special guest joining us now in studio from Northfield Retirement Community. We have the President, CEO.
President and CEO.
Tom Nielsen joining us. Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thanks for having me, Jeff. It's an honor and a privilege to be here. I've been trying to get on your radio slot here for ever since you were doing some interviews with people in the public, and I had to turn down some interviews with Wayne Eddy, but I'm here now today.
You're here now today, and I'm glad you're here. You know, we have elder care has been a topic that we've heard about for a number of years, especially during COVID. And it's been a difficult few years for people who are into whose business is senior housing and senior health care. Are we getting through COVID now from the standpoint of you and the Northfield retirement community? Can you fill us in a little bit on that?
Yeah. You know, I had our annual meeting recently and we talked a little bit about the history, but I think a lot of people are just tired of hearing about COVID and wanting it to get over. And I don't think we're ever going to be really over of COVID. And we're still going to deal with that just like the flu or influenza or chicken pox or other things. But it really hit us about 3 years ago in March of 2020. I still remember going around to our campus and putting up signs that had to shut out the community. And we were very community focused. We had a lot of people, volunteers, church groups, music groups, people coming to our campus to provide great quality of life. And through the pandemic, we had to kind of shut that down to protect our seniors. And that went on for about 2.5 years of basically declining our business. And as employees retired, couldn't find daycare, couldn't leave the campus, high school workers that were in school and homeschooled couldn't, you know, come into our campus, it really put a pinch on our employees. We dropped down about 80 employees over 2.5 years. Mm. And so now we're in the, starting in October, we started having great conversations about rebuilding our campus. And a lot of that resulted from vaccinations coming out and restrictions being lifted and it not being as burdensome, I think, on our seniors.
Are you feeling that now? Are we through with that COVID thing now? Are we getting to the end of that tunnel?
Yeah, I think so. It's nice to see the light at the end of the tunnel, at least. Mm-hmm. I know for us, we had to reduce transportation services and chapel services and group bingo and, you know, all those things that put seniors together in group settings. And we had to kind of isolate people. And it's been really nice over the last probably 6 months that our transportation's back in place and we can do medical transportation and actually transport more than one person at a time and have to disinfect the bus in between and all those things. But we still have to watch out with masking and some other things to protect our seniors. But our chapel services are up and running and our transportation and other things are back in place.
For about 2.5 years, as you've mentioned before, staffing was a huge challenge. You mentioned down 80 employees from your peak. Is that coming back now? Do you have the employees? You're offering some of the services now, but are they back to numbers that you would like to see?
Yeah, I would say not yet. I listened to an interesting presentation by the Minnesota Demographer's Office, and they were talking about the biggest shortages being in food service and healthcare. And I think we're the last kind of industry, and those positions are the last ones to come bouncing back. We've hired some employees that are coming in, and as we hire more employees, we can take care of more people. We shrunk the level of people that we're caring for to match our employees to maintain our good quality of care. It's just unethical to just keep taking people that you can't care for. And so we have a very supportive board that was realistic to the fact that we don't want to ruin our reputation. I figured out to get back to kind of pre-COVID levels, I'd need to hire about 50 employees. I'm going to try to get about 25 additional employees between now and the next 6 months. And then I need to get about 65 more residents on our campus, and I'll be back to kind of pre-COVID levels.
And what, you know, from the employees, are you looking for experience? Do they have to have degrees? What type of employees do you need?
Yeah, a lot of the positions we have, in fact, the majority are frontline workers, resident aides, nursing assistants, food service workers, housekeepers, some maintenance, a few clerical people. So it's a lot of the frontline workers that we're looking for. We've been very fortunate at our campus. I just did our annual meeting, like I said, and I did a statistic on all of my department managers, and the average length of tenure is 19.3 years. I've got a director of nursing that's been there 28 years. I've been there 21 years. My activities people have been there over 20 years. So we've got a lot of tenure and longevity in our management team, which helps with our corporate culture and the work environment. But now we need some frontline workers to help care for our residents.
All of this probably takes its, I'm throwing this out there, a financial toll on on any, it's not just the NRC, I'm sure it's any facility within the state. Boy, how bad has that been on, you know, I guess speaking general terms for the throughout the state, are we seeing some closures still? What's going on in the statewide scene?
Yeah, and it's getting really kind of scary because as we're progressing through the pandemic, early on in the pandemic, we received pandemic pay money, we received money from the CARES Act to get us through some of those things, and all those things have kind of dried up, and so we're kind of on our own. So recently, and I don't want to bash your radio station, but I was on NPR radio, and you can go to their website and find a good news article about our history and the care that we're giving and what's happening at the legislature. But we're still battling to get back from COVID and still trying to look for some funding to help make us do that. So a lot of facilities are tapping into their reserves, into their foundations, into what they've had and saved over the past. But there's a lot of small towns that just don't have those resources. There are a lot of small nursing homes. I know Kenyon is closed. Pine Island's been in receivership. There's just a lot of small things. I ran into somebody who's read the paper last weekend that said there were two more closures of nursing homes. And it's just because we're still looking for employees to be able to, or the funding to get to hire employees to take care of our seniors.
Once again, Tom Nielsen is with us, the president and CEO of Northfield Retirement Community. Let's talk about the government's role in this, reimbursement rates, where are you at? What are we talking, state level government? Are we talking federal government? Are we talking both? I know you've been lobbying the state lately.
Yeah, I think the majority of it lands in the state. Nursing homes in general and skilled nursing facilities, as they're called, our rates are set by the state of Minnesota. And that reimbursement happens when I spend a dollar today, it takes me 21 months to put it in my cost report to get reimbursed for that at a later point in time. And so that delay is really hurting us right now because as inflation goes up and property taxes and, you know, grocery bills and all those things are happening and our revenue is down because we don't have enough residents on our campus, it's really putting a financial crunch just immediately now and then going into the future. So I think that's what we're doing. Is I was at the governor's office earlier this week meeting with representatives, and there were 32 leaders that run retirement campuses and nursing homes across the state of Minnesota, and we're able to speak to the governor's budget a little bit to say, don't forget about us. There's a lot of things, and there's $17 to $18 billion of surplus. We're in line just like everybody else, and I think now is the critical time because the governor and the different parties are talking about budget programs. You know, the first kind of third of the legislative session is let's pass some stuff to show that we're busy and doing work. And then the middle section is a lot of social justice kinds of things. And now the last part is they're talking about taxes and rebates to Minnesotans and what they're going to do for their budgets.
You were there with a number of your colleagues. Is everybody singing the same song here? Are the problems, the issues that you're having common throughout the industry?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing that we're seeing right now is we're turning down multiple admissions a week of people needing to get into the nursing home. And I think that's where the biggest impetus is right now. And there are large facilities in the Twin Cities metro area and around that are trying to take care of their local people, trying to keep them local. And when we can't take people in the nursing homes, they get backed up in the hospital. And I've heard story after story of people being in the hospital 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks because they can't find placement in a nursing home. We've got 22 beds at our facility, and we're only able to fill 15 right now due to staffing and could take a few more. I know we're coordinating things with Three Links in the hospital as well, and the hospital's not at full capacity in their nursing home, and Three Links isn't, and that's happening all over the state. And so when we can't take people out of the hospital, they get backed up in the hospital, and then people get backed up in the emergency rooms, and selective surgeries get a long time to take care of, and then they start struggling financially.
You know, listening to throughout the legislative session to different media reports, mainly elder care doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot of headlines. There are a lot of issues out there. You know, we're spending a lot of time, at least as far as the media goes, talking about, you know, some of the like the bills that he signed yesterday, which really don't. I mean, by and large, does not include elder care.
Yeah.
Do you get that feeling? Are you guys getting thrown to the back burner there?
Or? Yeah, and it, I don't want to split hairs too much here, but there are some legislative efforts and some budgeting in what they call home and community-based services. So things like assisted living and home cares and services to keep people in their homes longer, which we're fully supportive. And on our campus of 300-plus beds, you know, a large portion of our beds are made up of assisted living and independent living for seniors. But there's basically nothing in legislature or in the budget for long-term care or skilled nursing facilities. And that's an important part of the continuum as people either fall or have a hip replacement or need that 24-hour nursing care or to get out of a hospital. That's the section that's not getting any attention. Mm. And so it's nice that they're looking at the future. And I think a lot of people in Minnesota have realized, hey, I can stay home longer. I can get home-delivered meals. My medications can come. They can drop off Amazon boxes all the time, doing all those things. Mm-hmm. But when you need that 24-hour nursing care, that's where we're really struggling to find some support.
All right. Yeah, it. I imagine you have been in the industry for more than a quarter of a century, well over that. It's got to hurt to have to turn people down who need the facilities. That's got to be... I just pull at you.
Yeah, my office right next to my director of nursing, and every once in a while she'll come in and say, Tom, I've got four people that need to come to our nursing home, and let's talk about those. And we have to pick the person that's in the most need. And it's like that story about throwing starfish back into the ocean. You can't save them all, and you have to kind of pick and choose which one doesn't have a place to go, which one's in more need, what's more critical, and then you got to turn the others down, and they're having to go long distances to find either a place to go, or they'll stay in the nurse or in the hospital for long periods of time. And so we'll talk about that, and it pulls at her heartstrings and mine as well. And I point to the post-it note on my wall. It's got the four twos. I said, we've been too Minnesota nice, trying to do too much with too little for too long. And I said, it's been 3 years of pandemic and COVID and everything. At some point, we just have to say we can't do it anymore. We can only take so many people, and it's just hard to do. And it's people in our own community that are looking for a place to be in the community. And it's just tough to have to turn those people away.
All right. Tom, what else do we need to know about what the legislative session is doing, about the politics and about the dynamics of elder care in this day and age?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, out of the three things that I had our annual meeting, and the three things that I kind of talked about there, if you remember nothing about anything that I'm saying, is advocate at the legislature, talk to your representatives, talk to your senators about supporting nursing homes and trying to get something yet in the budget this year. Send people that are looking for employment to us. It's a gratifying work environment. I hear all the time that we have just great things going on, and it's a three-legged stool between wages, benefits, and work environment. And we've got some great people that are dedicated and like serving seniors and have a great time doing it. And then get people to live there. We've got some great environments. We've changed some of the things we're doing. We are adding 18 more beds of and converting some things into memory care. That's still a need going forward in the future. We've got a housing unit that we've de-licensed some of the beds there, made it more independent so you can live there, have your cable, your internet, everything's kind of set up already. Just bring your furniture in, and then family and others can help you set up your meds or help you do your laundry. So it's very limited assistance that we need to provide, and it's considered more independent. So we're trying to create some of those environments that are reaching out to the future needs of what's happening, and kind of put some of that ownership on family and friends and volunteers to be able to help provide some of the services.
Well, we wish you the best.
Yes.
And thank you so much for taking a few minutes and being with us. Much appreciated. Thanks for being understanding with my voice, which I just don't have anything left of. So
not a problem.
All right. We will we'll talk to you again soon. Anytime you want to come in and talk, you've got somebody to talk to.
Sounds good. Thank you very much for having me today, Jeff.
That is Tom Nielsen, once again from Northfield Retirement Community. We got Tim stopping in, or excuse me, Rich back in with a look at local news headlines coming up.
Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye and LASIK, we're swinging into spring. Spring is here and it's time to get outdoors. Hiking, biking, boating, walking around.